Welcome to the weekly teaching program from Finally Alive Ministries with pastor and counselor, Gary Aris. Gary is a full-time pastoral counselor and teacher of God's Word. He has a remarkably deep passion to see people set free in Christ. You may call our prayer line at 657-246-2464 or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. That's prayer@finallyalive.com. Now, let's join Gary as he shares some amazing truth from God's counsel in this week's teaching.
Welcome to Finally Alive Radio. I'm your host, Gary Aris, your very own Christian counselor. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate that. And our question is, what is your purpose? We've answered the question, why am I here? That is the foundational question to all this. And if you can answer the question, why am I here? And the answer to that, of course, was, I identify in Christ. I am a child of God. And there's no one who can take that away from me. So why are you here? Because you're a child of God. Who do you identify with? You identify in Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection has given you life today. And not just life in the flesh, but also spiritual life. That is the rebirth. If I can identify in God through Christ, now I can go into, what is my purpose? So how do you find your purpose? Man, I've seen tons and tons and tons and tons of books on this. And perhaps I'm being very cynical, but I've read many of the books. And it takes me back to the Bible. And I know it sounds cliche, but truly the Bible has all the answers. If it doesn't have an answer, it has a story of the situation that you're thinking of or you're going through. The real issue is that we haven't studied the Bible well enough to find these answers, because they're all in there. And the typical argument that I hear is, oh, well, how could the Bible understand me? How can the Bible really answer my questions, me in the 21st century human being? Well, that's an easy answer. Even though you have technology, all because you have an iPhone doesn't mean stealing stops. All because we have computers and internet and Wi-Fi everywhere we go now doesn't mean you don't lie anymore. Those were the exact same issues they dealt with back then. So all because technology has advanced, humanity hasn't. Humans are still human. People are still people. Sure, we understand things better, we'll learn things better, we'll grasp things better, but the bent in our nature is impossible to fix. Well, education can help us. Yeah, sure, education can help to a degree. But people will still be people. People will still be selfish. You and I, let's be honest with each other. Could you be honest with me as I'm going to be honest with you? We're selfish. We have our days. We have our moments. Look, I'm a parent, and I have days when I just want to sit alone and hear no noise. I'm happily married, but I have my days. When I don't want to hear anything. Yeah, I'm human. I have selfish moments. God knows that. He realizes. Do you think we serve an all-knowing God, right? We serve an all-knowing God. Do you think he doesn't know that you're fallen, you're broken, you have a bent in your nature? Of course he knows. Of course. He's God. He knows everything. All right, but anyway. So let's answer the question. How do you find your purpose? I'll even ask it this way. What is your gift? What are your strengths in life? What are you made for? We know why you're here. We're identifying with Christ, but what's your particular strength? That's the question. And again, I told you about the books I've read, and it says, oh, you know, you've got to follow your passions. You've got to follow your passions. And No, don't do that to yourself. Again, another farce, another worldly piece of advice that does not work. It isn't your passions that define your strengths. I think following passion is feelings on steroids, if you ask me. Because look, I can be passionate about, I don't know, singing, but I don't think I have a singing voice. I don't even think I have a speaking voice, quite honestly. So this can't be my passion. It isn't. Look, and I'll stretch the idea. You know, I could be passionate about being a blonde, but I'm definitely not blonde. I could be passionate about being a different race, but it's just not going to happen. All right, so passion is not the answer. That is not how you find your strengths or your purpose. In fact, I would say completely separate the idea of passion from purpose. So let's separate those two ideas. So I'll ask you a few simple questions here, but you have to promise me something because I think this is a tough thing to do. In your mind, you will naturally try to overcomplicate this. I'm going to ask you to do your best not to do that. And as we go along, I'll try to coach you through this over the air. So here's my first question. What comes to you naturally? What is easy for you to do and something that's super easy? Here's where we'll usually overcomplicate it. That super easy thing to do to you might feel like it's nothing. Anybody can do it. Who cares? You may have to really think, what is it that comes to you naturally? Something that's easy for you to do. Again, it's hard for us to notice this because we tend to downplay this because, you know, it's easy for me to do. Anybody can probably do this. And that's not true. Some examples might be this. Talking to people. Talking to people is a gift. It is. Trust me, it is. Ask any introvert. Talking to people. In fact, this is where temperaments can actually help us. I'm actually a certified temperament counselor, so I rely on these kinds of things a lot during counseling. And we have differences between introverts and extroverts. I'm an introvert. And guess what I have difficulty in? Talking to people. And you know what I have to do? I've found a way or formulas into how to talk to people because that's not the introvert's world. That's not the way they work. So as an introvert, I've had to find different ways, tactics, techniques, strategies on how I can talk to people. It sounds weird if you're an extrovert, but if you're an introvert, you probably understand what I'm saying. You kind of have to find your own groove, your own way of doing this. But guess what? To the extrovert, just talking to people is actually a gift. Now, as for the introvert, typically they're thinkers. They think and they think. Sometimes they live in their heads. They think and then they overthink. I'm guilty of that. We analyze every little thing, every little nook and cranny, every little corner. And then after we're done analyzing, we analyze it again. We think it over again, sometimes to a fault. But that's what an introvert does. Growing up, I didn't think that was a gift. I thought that was actually some sort of deformity in my own brain. I didn't know any better. I was a kid. But I thought thinking and overthinking growing up was actually a bad thing. And it isn't. It isn't. I kind of lived in my head. Yeah, that wasn't the problem. Apparently, that was who I was. I'm an introvert. That's just who I was. That's part of my gift. And you might be an introvert. A lot of people are introverts or an extrovert. Either one is fine. But you see, all because you think and it comes easy to you, it comes naturally to you, you might think that's not a good thing, or maybe just like I did, I thought it was a deformity. That's part of my gift. I'm a thinker. What's your gift? Are you a thinker? Are you spontaneous? Introverts tend not to be as spontaneous. You might be spontaneous. Guess what? There's a gift. Spontaneity, we need that in life. Well, how can that be used in the church? Easy. When everybody's down, that spontaneous extrovert comes up and cheers up the group. Ah, you didn't think that was important, did you? Yeah, it's all part of the body. It's all part of the whole system here. We need people to cheer us up. Thinkers get very depressed. We need people to cheer us up. And notice, I'm not going into your education, because your temperament is not something that's taught. It just comes out naturally. You might be a person who shows up somewhere and naturally wants to help, or naturally wants to give. Good for you. There's your gift. Maybe you're the type that likes to hang back but tries their best to keep the peace. Yeah, another gift. Isn't that weird? The things that you naturally do, those are your gifts. Those are God-given abilities. So dig for this one. I know the temptation is to think, oh, that's nothing, it's not important. But no, it is. It really is. The things that are easy for you to do are your gifts. So think about that. And again, don't mix this in with what you've learned. It's not what you've learned that's your gift. It's what comes natural to you. That's your gift. And I see it often. I mean, here's a good example I think of often is leadership training. I laugh hysterically, because there's no such thing as leadership training. It's a temperament thing. If you're a leader, you're a leader. You're a born leader. Yeah, it's just that way. You can't teach someone to be a leader. You can teach people skills and techniques. But when the real God-given gift shows up, it doesn't matter how much you've learned, because the person who has a temperament who is bossy is just going to come in and thrash the place, mentally, of course, and just take over. So all your techniques are going to go down the drain. So leadership conferences and leadership training, good stuff, probably great material. But again, gift. What is your gift? Some can have the gift of being a leader. It's a good thing. We need that. And I mean, maybe you've seen this. Maybe your boss or your manager falls apart when there's a problem. In fact, that's the dead giveaway of a leader. A leader doesn't fall apart under crisis, where a person who isn't a natural leader does fall apart under crisis. So again, just stuff to be aware of. You know, you might be sitting under a manager or a boss who isn't a natural leader. Maybe they just learned some great skills and it works for them, and that's fine. And that's why I say your gift cannot be taught. You just naturally are able to do this. I'll give you another example. I've met people who can look at you and know or have an idea of what you're thinking. Or they can just, I call it a vibe. They can feel the vibe of what kind of person, or even rooms. They can walk into a room and feel the vibe of the room and just know, oh, this is probably not a good room to be in. Or no, I feel peaceful. I feel good. It's amazing. But that's a gift. That's an ability that people have. It's a sensitivity. And those people tend to be very sensitive to things. And that's great. That's okay. That's just who they are. That's just their gift. So what is your purpose? You can find your purpose. And in fact, let's read Proverbs 18:16. That says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. So again, here's another hint for you. Your gift will just make room for you. If you're a helper, guess what? For some reason, you will be in situations where you're needed because you help. Or if you're charitable, guess what? People will seek you out because you're just a charitable person. Or if you're really good at giving advice, guess what? For some reason, you're the one that they call. In Romans 12, verse 6, it talks about different gifts. And I'm going to read this to you. Verse 6 says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So notice it says grace. So not only do we have the grace or the gift of salvation, which connects us back to God, being a child of God, he also gives us gifts that are unique to you. So now you have the grace of being saved, but also the grace for your purpose. It says each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And here's the first one. If prophecy, so some are good preachers. Prophecy doesn't mean someone who can tell the future. That's not the idea of prophecy here. It's the idea of someone who's able to preach. And then it says, according to the proportion of his faith. Another one is service. It says, if service in his serving. So people, some people are good at serving. Great, that's a gift. Or he who teaches in his teaching. So some are great teachers. Or it says in verse 8, or he who exhorts. The idea of an exhorter is somebody who walks along with. That's a gift. He who gives. Giving, believe it or not, giving is a gift. Some will give charitably for the purpose of being known, and some will give just for the purpose of giving. And the second one is the one who has the gift there. And another one would be a leader. It says he who leads. So leading, like we said earlier, leading is a gift. It's not something that's learned. So it says to the leader with diligence, he who shows mercy. So there are some people who are more merciful than others. Some people are just cut and dry, and that's okay. And some people are a lot more merciful. They're more understanding. They're willing to hear you out. That's a gift. Not everybody has that. So a quick rundown would be one who preaches, one who serves, one who teaches, one who exhorts, walks alongside, one who leads, one who shows mercy. And it's very possible for you to have more than one of these. You could even have two or three of these. Not necessarily all of them, but just kind of reading through these, you'll see your gift make room for itself. And look, even in a work setting, you can see this happen. You know, the preacher comes and says, hey, you know, our sales are down. And then here comes a teacher and does the analysis and says, oh, yeah, I see the sales are down because something has changed in the market. And of course, the leader comes in and says, all right, everybody, now we have to change our strategy and we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And here comes those who are well in service and they do their service. And then the other ones who are good at walking alongside, who will help those in the service or anybody else. Simple little image there for you, just to see even in a work environment, you actually need all of these to help with a business. So look, read through those. Look through Romans 12, 6 through 9. See if you fit in any of those. I, as a temperament counselor, I actually have a questionnaire you can fill out that will tell you what your temperament is. And it's extremely accurate. It's amazing. You can go to the website, finallyalive.com, send me a message there, and I'll tell you how to get that. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe to our email. We'll send you the podcast every week so you can hear it and have it for yourself, absolutely free. Look, it's very important for you to know what your purpose is. If you don't have purpose, it's hard to have hope. So find out what your purpose is. And what do? You just look at what you do naturally. Look, Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16 says, you're the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Look, be the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth, so be it. Be the salt by knowing what your purpose is in life. If you know your purpose, you're going to know your destiny. That's the beautiful part about this. It gives you hope. It gives you direction. You will have direction for the rest of your life. It's amazing. You living your purpose is you being the salt of the earth. And another thought, speaking of salt, it says, if the salt has lost its taste, how is that even possible? As salt doesn't have an expiration date. Salt stays savory. Well, the idea behind what Jesus is saying here is back then, the salt wasn't in cans. Back then, they were chunks of salt, and sometimes the salt may have been mixed in with other minerals. And if there was too many other minerals, then guess what? This salt would lose its taste. So the idea here is this. Don't get mixed in with the world. Obviously, there is aspects of the world in us. I mean, we do live in this flesh. But if there's too much of the world in there, well, then the salt will lose its taste. So be aware of these things. Be mindful that you are not too far mixed into the world, because the world is going to lie to you. It's going to make you believe things that you're not, when really you are a conqueror in Christ. And remember, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We go back to the why question. Seek God first. Seek his kingdom. Ask the Lord, how do I fit in? Where do I fit in? Where do I fit in life? He'll answer it. You've got to seek him, though. And then guess what? All these things will be added to you. I mean, let's be honest. It doesn't feel like there's a benefit in seeking first the kingdom of God. Well, of course, it's not going to look like there's going to be a benefit right off the bat, because it's a long-term goal. It's an eternal goal. So when you're trying to seek first the kingdom of God and looking for how to widen your pockets, well, obviously, it's not going to work well for you. So if it's all about what do you want and what do you want to get, well, it's not going to work well for you. So when you're seeking God, when you're seeking his kingdom, the reward may not all be in this life. You actually may get the reward in the next life. But when we're seeking the kingdom of God, that means we're seeking the eternal. We're seeking the long-term goal, the big picture. Keep that in mind as you seek him first. I hope this message was a blessing to you. Please reach out to me. I want to know what you're thinking. I want to know your questions. I want to know your comments. Even criticize me. I want to know what you're thinking. Go to finallyalive.com and you can contact me there. Send me your thoughts, even questions. If you have questions, we'll actually try to answer them on the show. But reach out. I want to know you. I want to hear you. I want to see what this message is doing for you or people that you know. And remember to share the message. Let's get people to hear this. Because I don't know if people are hearing stuff like this anymore. So until next time, my friend, God bless you.
Thank you again for joining us on this week's program with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris of Finally Alive Ministries. We pray that if God has touched your heart with any part of today's teaching, you would respond and move into the healing that God has for you. Visit us at finallyalive.com. There, you can download this episode for free, email your concerns, questions, or share a story of how God is using this teaching to help you grow in Christ and his freedom. If you'd like to call our prayer line, you may do so at 657-246-2464. That's 657-246-2464. Or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. We will meet you again next week at this same time when we look at God's Word with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.